Yeah! NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Strayer's Tuesday, December 4. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Elmer Studios. They're still under construction. Larry Elmer Studios, so bear with us. Letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. As we wrap up after every day of NBA action, just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right, so massive day of NBA action to cover today. We've got a fired coach. That's right. See you, Fred. Scary Terry there is being sued. We've also found out what the mysterious ailment that shook the Warriors to their very core last season was. And we've got a bunch of games that were really, really good. So we'll cover all that with all the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's all those favorites like, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and our back toke house, where we're serving up some flame grill takes. So that's going to be good. Also, because it's Tuesday, it means we have a new Mark Brecky, sweaty, hairy guy of the week. We also play Where in the World Is? Today, it's Jock Landale. And then we're going to finish up by previewing and picking all the games for tomorrow and close out with a new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles answers all your HR questions. Noice. All right, let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia, episode 196. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or maybe watch out for the attack of the disgruntled front office that are continually trying to save their jobs. Isn't that right, Chicago? Yeah, so we're going to start today the way we start every day here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around and the Bulls. Finally fired Fred Spud Hoiberg. That's right. The years of excuses. He doesn't have his team, bro. He doesn't have the players he wants. He needs young guys to mold. Fuck off. See ya. There's been no point in the last 4 years where anyone has really gone, like, for good or ill. Gee, you know what? I reckon Fred Hoiberg's a really amazing or a really shithouse coach. He's just kind of been like, heh. So, bye, Felicia. This also goes to the heart of the weird dysfunction of the Bulls, right? You've still got to fire Garp Foreman and John Paxson, I think, at this point. And you're going to do it right now as well because, like, you got to clean house. What are you going to do? They've hired five fucking coaches over the years, Garp Foreman and John Paxson, better known as Garpax. Tibbs was good, and then they were like, oh, but we don't like him much. It's like, you fucking hired the guy. And then they, you know, spent years trying to get rid of him. They finally did. They bring in their guy and then they shit can him after 4 years. I mean, what's the constant? It's fucking Gar Foreman and John Paxson, isn't it? Jesus. Get a new GM. Get a new president. Start a new era. Clean house. Get those new dudes in there with their new, you know, their own choice of coach so you can sort of start off with a clean slate. And just go from there. Like, there's been nothing over the last decade and a half that screams like, competency beyond Tibbs dragging these Bulls teams to like an immense amount of awesome wins that was derailed basically by D-Rose hurting his knee. And then these guys are just sort of sitting there going, oh, we're really smart. Fuck no, you've been fucking hamstringing this goddamn franchise from the start. So they fought Tibbs for years. They brought in their guy. It turns out he sucked. They've done this before. That's all on you guys. Get the fuck out of here. Now they got to go. What do you reckon? We'll talk about this a little bit later as well, but there you go. Bulls, they've fired Fred Hoiberg. I don't know if you got a real fair shake of the salve, but whatever. I mean, the Bulls, they just need to fucking tear this entire thing down, fire the entire front office, start anew. I mean, look at Brooklyn. They bring in Sean Marks, they bring in Kenny Atkinson, everyone's on the same page. It all makes a little bit of fucking sense. Bulls, it's been a shit show for fucking years. Next up, the Warriors. Their big struggle that was alluded to by David West after they won the title. It's been revealed by Sam Amick at The Athletic that it was to do with meningitis. That's right, an outside vendor who handled the team's food on a daily basis contracted a contagious form of meningitis and survived a life-threatening challenge before eventually returning to work with the team. Wild. So the team had to like go decamp to a different practice facility, get vaccinations, eat in a different place while the old place was completely sanitized and shit, which is wild. And Zaza sort of got duped into like talking about it, and he's like, yeah, it was fucked, mate. And Dave West was kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that specifically, but it was fucked, mate. So sounds pretty fucked, I'll tell you. And what else? Oh, Scary Terry's being sued, can you believe this, by Fun World, a subsidiary of Easter Unlimited, which is probably also a subsidiary of Christmas Unlimited, which is also is probably a subsidiary of like Hallmark or some shit. I fucking know. Anyway, so Scary Terry was Scary Terry Rosé. Terry Rozier being sued because they own the trademark for the Halloween mask Ghostface, which was like part of the Scary Terry range of merch that Rosé was selling with Barstool and a bunch of other people. Gee, dubious much, right? Like, this isn't the exact same. It's a parodic depiction, and their trademark merch is all about the mask and doesn't actually like include t-shirts and hoodies and stuff with a cartoon of a mask that isn't specifically that. So get the fuck out of here. I love America, and it's like spurious. Oh, we own the rights to this. We're going to sue ya. It's a fucking like a cartoon of a guy wearing a mask. It's like not the mask. Like, you own the rights to the mask. Get the fuck out of here. Jesus, I hate this shit. And we also got some other news. We have our Players of the Month, Rookies of the Month, and Coaches of the Month. Let's do it. Players of the Month. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the Player of the Month for the East. Tobias Harris was the Player of the Month for the West, because apparently no one voting has heard of Anthony Davis. The Rookies of the Month were Luka Doncic in the West and Trae Young in the East. Oh, geez, we'll talk about that in a second. And the Coaches of the Month were apparently just everyone looked at the top of the standings and went, those two coaches, Nick Nurse in the East for the Raptors and Doc Rivers in the West for the Clips. So what about the actual winners? Who are the actual Players of the Month? Well, Giannis, that's fine in the East. Maybe Joel Embiid. Giannis is averaging a lazy 31, 14, and 7 over his last 5 games. And over the last 10, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 6.6 assists. That's wild. Embiid is a little bit lower. 22.6, 13.5 rebounds, 3.4 assists in his last 5. 25, 13.5, and 3.5 over his last 10. Yeah, it's wild, right? So AD, he's at 28 and 13, which is absolutely fucking nuts. And that's substantially better than Tobias fucking Harris. So Anthony Davis is the West. So let's just do that. God damn it, man. I just hate that people are just dumb and like, oh, Tobias Harris, he's like the best player on the best team in the West. He's the Player of the Month. Fuck off. Meanwhile, AD's out there fucking carrying this goddamn Pelicans team, kicking ass and taking names. For the rookies, the actual winners, yeah, Luka, he's awesome. 18.5 points a game, 6.5 rebounds, 4.3 assists, smashing it. Good shooting stats as well. But for the East, fuck Trae Young, give me Wendell! Wendell Carter Jr., 11.4 points, 7.1 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.6 blocks in only 25 minutes a game. His per 36 numbers are 16, 10, 3, and 2.3. Unreal. Whereas Trae Young is his per 36 and 19, 9 assists and 3.7 rebounds. Trae Young, meanwhile, is shooting 37.8% from the field and 24.8% from three, and has 4.7 turnovers per 36. So I'm not entirely convinced he's your rookie of the month from the East. Just because he's the biggest name doesn't mean he's the best fucking rookie, you assholes. All right, let's get into the wraps for today. We'll just whip through these. 7 games. There's some really good ones. Really close, actually. One blowout, but a couple of really close ones. The Cavs went into Brooklyn and beat the Nets 99-97. On an unbelievable Alec Burks game-winning dunk where he just shook Allen Crabbe into a pick and then went all the way around Spencer Dinwiddie and dunked the winning bucket with 2.3 seconds left. Unreal. They shot 4 of 15 from 3 in this as well, the Cavs, and somehow fucking won. One of those threes was hit by fucking Larry Nance Jr., mate. That's wild. For the Nets, no Joe Harris. He's got a left adductor strain. D'Angelo Russell, he had 30 points, which is good. It's on 31 shots. That's bad. He also had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, shot 4 of 12 from 3. D'Angelo. God, D'Angelo, no. Fucking hell. 18 and 4 for Spencer Dinwiddie and Rozier Kuroks. Their rookie looked pretty good as well. He had a career high 12 points. He was in and amongst shit. It was good. How's Allen Crabbe, though? 5 points, 1 of 7 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3. That's worth $20 million. Rondae Ellis-Jefferson, Damari Carroll as well, 1 of 7 each. Gross. might pop up a little bit later. For the Cavs, Tristan Thompson had 19 and 14. The Sex Man, Colin Sexton, had 15. And J.R. Smith 2.0, Jordan Clarkson, he had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists, which is wild. But Alec Burtz with a game winner, that was absolutely unreal shit. Came over in the Kyle Korver trade, and he's out there just winning games of his own back. He had 13 points. That was next level. Drove straight in, got the dunk. It was all over. That was unreal. Brooklyn, they dropped 2-8-17. Cleveland, 5-18. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith? Who is it?
Cleveland.
That's right. It's Cleveland, 5-18. Brooklyn, 8-17. Oh, can you feel that? Is that the sound of tanks rolling in? I'd do it. Come on, Brooklyn. Thunder, they went into Detroit basketball and smashed the Pistons, 110-83. An absolute pantsing by OKC. For the Pistons, 25-4 for Blake. 13 points on 14 shots for Andre Drummond. Only 6 rebounds for the NBA's leading rebounder, though. Reggie Jackson, not a revenge game against the Thunder because he had 10 points on 10 shots. He was a minus 19. Jesus. Gross. The other Reggie Bullock, he left with an ankle injury in the first quarter. And yeah, the Pistons were a shambles today. The Thunder had 21-6 for Stephen Adams. Boo. Rusty Westbrook at 18-6-6. Pulled out a wicked rock the baby on Reggie Jackson. 17 points and 10 rebounds for Paul George. And Nerlens Noel got some run in this. Garbage time was particularly garbage in this, and it was like basically the entire second half. Nerlens, he had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 2 steals in 20 minutes. It's unreal. So Detroit, they drop for the first time in 6 games. That was their 5-game win streak. Comes to an end. 13-8 they are. OKC are 15-7. They've won 3 straight, but they're 15-3 since they lost their first 4. Fucking hell, mate. The Warriors, they beat Warriors East, the Hawks, 128-111 in Atlanta. One team shot 26 three-pointers and hit 5 of them. 26 threes, they hit 5. Who do you reckon that was? The other team took 24 threes and hit 13. Who do you think that one was? Yeah, it turns out it was Warriors West. Warriors East hit 5 of 26. Yet, the Hawks aren't quite the Warriors East yet, are they, mate? It's a tough one. So for the Warriors East, Trae Young had 20 points on 8 of 20 shooting, 7 turnovers and 3 assists. Jesus. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. 24 points, 11 rebounds. Torin the Red Bull Prince had 14. Kevin Huerta, he had 10 as well. Linsanity, 14-5-5. Just quietly just plugging away, Jeremy Lin. Bazemore, though, fellow, same as Jeremy Lin, former Golden State Warrior, he had 3 points on 1 of 6 shooting against his old team. That's that Baze gaze. Warriors West, the actual Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry outscored Atlanta in the first quarter. He had 18 points. Atlanta had 17. Gross. Unreal, Steph. The nerd. Good on you. 30 points he ends up with. 6 of 10 from 3. The coward, Kevin Durant, has 28 points, 8 assists. And Klay Thompson, 27 points, 8 rebounds. Kevon Looney had 14-4-5. And Jonas Jerebko had the Swedish Larry Bird at 12 points too. Didn't miss from the field. 4-4 from the field. 2-2 from 3. Nice one. Atlanta, they dropped to 5-19. Golden State is 16-9. Nice one. The Wizards try their hardest to lose to the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. They end up winning 110-107. The Knicks scored 14 points in the final 2 minutes to get this so fucking close. And then John Wall buried a big 3. To basically seal this and put them back up 5 or 6 in the last, 30 seconds. It was absolutely wild, though. The Knicks were up for a lot of this. Wizards then got up, and it's like cruising. And the Knicks just came furiously back. It was fun as hell. For a team that shot 41% from the field, though, it's pretty wild. Hardaway the Lesser, he had 20 points, 2 assists. His dad's probably out there just going, you fucking shitbag. Could have more than 2 assists, mate. Damian Doxson, I love that kid. He had 17 points, 9 rebounds. Enes the Penis Cantor, in between getting angry at the NBA and calling him a bunch of pissants for not featuring him in the Turkish NBA ad. 13 points, 16 rebounds. Noah Vonleh at 11-8. And Kevo Knox, bit of a rough one for the rookie. 3 of 11 for 8 points, but also had 9 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. For the Wiz, Bradley Beal had 27 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. John Wall had 18 points and 15 assists. Hit that big 3. That was the only 3 he hit all game as well, which is wild. He was 7 of 20, was John Wall. Jesus. 15-5 for Otto. I like to get Blatto. Porter. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 21 and Keith Morris had 18 too. No one else scored for the Wiz. 0 of 1 or from the bench. 0 of 1 for El Jefe Green. 0 of 2 for Jan Mahinmi. And 0 of 3 for Spud Rivers, Austin. But the Wiz, they pulled it out. They moved to 10 and 14. New York dropped to 8 and 17. Oh, we had a top of the table clash as well in Toronto as the Nuggets, the West leading Nuggets, went into Toronto and beat the top team in the East, 106-103. This was awesome too. Raps came back, got all the way back into it. And Nikola Jokic, hello! Like, just absolutely smashed. He was awesome. He had crucial free throws late, ended up with a triple-double. Kyle Lowry still had a chance to tie this with a three at the very end, and it just rimmed out, which was tough. So for the Raptors, 27 points, 8 rebounds for Kawhi. 1 of 7 shooting for Kyle, big booty Kyle Lowry. He ends up with 5 points, but 11 assists as well, though. Pascal Sikkim Siakam is out there crushing it. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. God damn, he's a gun. The bench had 33 and looked pretty good, but Lowry and Danny, not the boxer Green, going 4 of 16 combined, did not help. For the Nugs, Gary Harris, the Dartsman, got injured. He has a sore right hip. Came out of the first quarter. Nikola Jokic, hello! And Big Sabrin, yes, I crushed, don't worry. 23 points, 15 assists and 11 rebounds for a massive triple-double. We'll talk about him in a second. Jam and Jamal Murray at 21 points and 8 assists, 7 rebounds too. Malik Beasley in 1. There's only one. Hernan Gomez, both had 15. Paul Thrillsap, 6 points on 2 of 9 shooting for the Western Conference Player of the Week. Trust me, that's going to come up a bit later. Toronto dropped to 20 and 5. Their win streak ends at 8. Denver get their win streak up to 6, and they're 16 and 7. Smoking it. Two more to go. Rockets got beaten by the Wolves, which is absolutely wild because the Wolves were down 19 in this and got it back and won 103-91 because Houston just went fucking ice cold after halftime. They scored 9 points in the fourth quarter and 29 total points in the second half. The Wolves had 38 in the third quarter, and then Houston came out and scored 9 points in the entire fourth quarter. 9 times. I've seen them score 9 in like 14 seconds, let alone an entire fucking quarter. Jesus. So for the Rockets, fast Jimmy Harden. Maybe he was weighed down by all that stripper glitter in his beard there. 29 points, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. CP3, 5 points, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3, 7 assists, and also 5 turnovers. Ugh. Clint Capella. He had 24 points and 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. Eric Gordo Gordon was in struggle town as well, though. 10 points, 4 of 13 shooting. And that was the name of the game for the Rockets today. For the Wolves, big Karl Anthony Towns had 24 and 11 to go with 3 assists and 3 steals. He was a plus 17. Good on him. Wigo finally hit some fucking shots. Andrew Wiggins, Maple Jordan, 16 points, 6 of 11, 2 of 3 from 3. El Jefe Teague, he had 14 and 7. Bobby Covington, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and he's a problem, man. His last 4 plays of this game, forced a jump ball on Eric Gordon, forced a jump ball on Chris Paul, forced a jump ball on Clint Capella, caused a CP3 turnover, and then hit a backbreaking 3 that basically won the game. It was wild. Dario, the homie Saric, had 12 as well. Derek Rose had 0 points in this one. Missed all 4 of his shots in 25 minutes, but we're still a plus 13. Houston, they dropped to 11 and 12. That's right, they're still under 500, and the Wolves at 12 and 12. The Clippers finally went into New Orleans and actually won on a back-to-back in New Orleans. This was a good call. Not by me. I thought the Pelicans would smoke them. 129-126. This was crazy, man. The Pels had no Nico Mirotic out with an illness, but they did get a career high from Julius Randle. Career high 37 points in his start. He also had 8 rebounds and 4 assists. 37, 8, and 4. Unreal. Jrue Holiday had 32 points and 14 assists and 4 steals. And the brow, Anthony Davis, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. It's almost like he's really good or something. Man, they shot 37 of 65 and the rest of the team combined to shoot 12 of 26. Ugh, gross. Each one more was 0 of 3 from 3 and then took the game-tying 3 attempt as time expired. What the fuck are y'all doing out there, Pelicans? Be a Pelican, not a Pelican. The Clippers, Toby, the Never Nude Harris. He had 27. Gallo, the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari. 24 points, 15 for Avery Bradley. Sweet Lou Williams had 20 points and 6 assists. And Montrezl Harrell had 14 and 6. Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, was a bit quiet, 7 points. But man, Clips just keep on rolling. Even games like this on a back-to-back where you're like, yep, they'll lose. Nope. They keep on kicking ass, man, taking names. New Orleans now dropped to 12-13. The Clips are 16-7. That's fucking wild. That's right, the Clips. Tied with Denver at the very top of the Western Conference. All right, let's get on to the NBA Australia Report Performance of the Night.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
Yes, it was a knife, Nicola Yorgis.
In Serbia, we always carry a knife in case bear comes to attack you.
Good job, Nicola. 23 points, 15 assists. 15! God damn, he looks amazing out there. 11 rebounds as well. He was amazing. Super important down the stretch as well. I just love the guy. That was awesome. God damn, he's fun to watch when he's on too. Like, it seems like in the last 2-3 weeks, he's sort of just something's gone, oh yeah, I should be out there kicking ass and taking names, shouldn't I? And he's been really fucking fun to watch. So 23, 15, and 11. Huge triple-double. That is the NBA Australia Proof Performance of the Night. Who was old mate no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, that's still Reggie Jackson, isn't it? Every time he plays OKC is an absolute fucking treat because OKC are just like, oh, this fucking guy. Oh, I'm so sick of this fucking little dork. And they always try to kick the shit out of him. So there you go. Reggie Jackson got paid, got the fuck out of Dodge. Got his wish. I'm running a team. How's that going, mate? Yeah, not great. What about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud of the Night.
Yeah, look, we're combined Spud of the Night for the Nets. 3 of 21 shooting between Allen Crabbe, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Damari Carroll. 3 of 21. Gee, you reckon that's why they lost to the Cavs? Fucking oh. 3 of 21. That is unbelievable. But also a Spud of the Night goes to Chris Paul. That's right. State Farm spokesman rather than point guard now, apparently. Chris Paul, 5 points, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from three, 7 assists and 5 turnovers. Oh, Jesus. Getting old there, Chris. Getting old. Panting of the Night obviously just goes to OKC on Detroit, mate. That was embarrassing. I had to stop watching. It was that bad. Like, I just felt bad for Detroit watching it. You're like, there's no amount of, like, urban regeneration that makes me feel good for you right now. This is just tough. And it was even bad garbage time. Like, usually I love watching garbage time. He's like, hey, that guy, look at him. Oh, that's awesome. Look at Nerlens Noel looking like a world beater. Yeah, no. Nah. Not great. Not fun at all. What about Ben Alonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, as long as that involves like averaging 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and like 8 points. Oh, geez, Lonzo. But it is also obviously better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. Trae Young today, 20 points, 3 assists, 8 of 20 shooting, and 7 turnovers, though. So today is better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball goes to... Oh, Damian Doxon over there for the New York Knickerbockers in New York City. 24 minutes he played. Shot 6 of 12 from the field. 3 of 6 from 3. If you're paying attention, that's 50% across the board. Had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal, and was fucking awesome. God damn, he is good. I love him. I love watching him over the last year and a bit. And good on you, Damian Doxon. You are now better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back in a second with some yeah-nahs right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. It's yeah-nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, did Trae Young deserve that Eastern Rookie of the Month award? Yeah, nah. No, get the fuck out of here. He plays more than Wendell Carter Jr. I get it. And all these voters apparently are just lazy as fuck. Trae Young shooting percentages, mate. Unbelievable. I get that he's had some good games. And there's been some really good ones where you're like, oh shit, that's like as good as anyone as a rookie ever. But at the same time, he is absolutely getting his fucking ass handed to him in terms of shooting percentages of players who have played at least 10 games and played more than 15 minutes a game. Trae Young is 375th out of 412 qualified players in effective field goal percentage. He's also probably bottom 2-3 defenders in the NBA. He's currently the worst in DRPM by an absolute fucking furlong. He's minus 4.29 in comparison to Lou Will, who's next bad at minus 3.18. That's horrible. Trae Young, mate, when you're shooting not even 25% from three and just like wishing that you could like sniff a half decent percentage from the field in general, what the fuck are we all doing here? Why? Like, come on, man. 37.8% from the field, 24.8% from three, and 4.7 turnovers per 36. Fucking hell. Let's just pump the brakes. Can we? Meanwhile, Wendell Carter Jr. is out there fucking crushing it for the Bulls. And just like, and is a legend. So I'm confused as to why this even happened. Why? He's not even close to being the fucking rookie of the month. Jesus, Wendell, even just like in his 25 minutes a game, 11.4 points, 7.1 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.6 blocks. He's shooting 47.1% from the field. Absolutely fucking crushing it. Anyway, so that's a big nah from me, mate. Number two, has Carmelo Anthony played his last NBA game? Yeah, nah. Someone will get desperate enough to roll the dice with him after the new year, won't they? They really will. I also love that he's like, oh, hey, guys, I'm just out here working out, you know, getting shots up. I just, you know, just staying at the forefront of your mind, man. Stay mellow. He's like half fucking jogging up and down the court like a fucking fat, slow, barely give a shit prick. Like, who the fuck would roll the dice on this prick? Come on, man. Oh, it's hilarious. What do you think there, Kawhi? I mean, that's what I fucking thought, dude. Jesus Christ. So, Mello, look, someone will probably do it, but it doesn't look great. Hey, we mentioned the Rockets and Mello just then. Speaking of which, we talked about CP3 as well. Hey, do you reckon the Rockets are going to regret that CP3 contract? Yeah, you mean that one that's paying him for 4 years, $160 million, and he'll be paying him $44 million when he's 37 years old? They probably already fucking regret it, let alone in three seasons' time. Jesus. Chris Paul, rough as guts. And it's one of those things like, you know, small point guards lose it and they lose it quick. But everyone's like, oh, but he'll be fine, man. He's really, really smart. It's like, yeah, he might be really smart, but if his hammies keep pinging here and there and he can't do much, and he turns into like a Dwayne Wade-esque kind of like pinch hitter, fucking hell, Houston. $40 million a year for that guy. Jesus. Next one. Does Joel Embiid have a good MVP case? Yes, he does, but it's not as good as Giannis or Kawhi's. So, don't know what to tell you. Let alone maybe, is he on par with LeBron? Maybe. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, he'd be top five. And finally, should Chicago have fired Fred Hoiberg? We talked about it earlier, but should they have? Man, look, I think he's a spud, but at the same fucking time, give him a chance to coach this team, right? Like, Lauri Markkanen literally comes back for one game, looks amazing, and then they shit-can the coach. I get that he didn't start Lowry, and the first thing that Jim Boylan, the new one, not Jim Boylan, Boylan, so the new Chicago interim coach, Boylan, not to be confused with the former Chicago interim coach, Jim Boylan. Sure. Anyway, he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to start Markkanen and have Parker come off the bench. So maybe there was like a disconnect at the top between Hoiberg and Garpax. But at the same time, I mean, who cares what happens this year beyond getting some run in the young guys, right? Like, you're tanking. You're trying your hardest to get RJ Barrett or Zion or whatever. But fucking hell, mate. Like, what is Jim Boylan going to do better than Fred? And like, why not at least see if he can get like Lowry and Levine and co working together, maybe not playing defense, but like at least looking good and maybe running a system. And then look, if he can't after this year, then you shit can the guy then in the offseason. I mean, fucking hell. If you're not going to fire the front, this is literally just a front office like saving their job move, going, ah, yeah, what do you reckon? Should we fire him? Oh, it's all about like organizational culture and stuff. Mate, you're 5-19. Culture is not really going to matter a giant amount when you're getting your ass beat all the time, but at least like see if we can get something going here. and see if Hoiberg can work on that culture ship. I don't know, man. Hoiberg also didn't seem like a fucking lead by example, follow me into the breach, boys, kind of thing. I mean, he got raked by what, D-Wade, by Jimmy Butler, by Rondo. Everyone's like, this guy is fucking pushover. Jesus. And yeah, now all the young guys on this team are like, this guy fucking sucks. So look, maybe get rid of him and get a new voice in there. But it's a long time for an interim coach. I don't know. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day, though?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I think the Nuggets are going to be a problem. I don't know if that's unpopular, but they had their weird little swoon already, but they're, like, fun. The thing is, they're still just too inconsistent to really get me all hype, you know? Like, they're good, but they're not quite good enough, even though they're doing this. And, you know, 6-game win streak, they beat Toronto. They lose the Dartsman, though. I just can't trust them yet. I want to see them do this for, like, the rest of this year. That'd be fun. But the actual unpopular opinion of the day part of this, on top of the, you know, players of the week, players of the month, Paul Thrillsap should not have fucking been Western Player of the Month. Week. He was the week. What the fuck are we all doing here? Like, who does Anthony Davis have to blow to get some fucking pub? Millsap had a 20-11 game and then a 22-10 game and got Player of the Week in the Western Conference. Anthony fucking Davis had 28 points, 15 rebounds and 3 assists, and then he had 41 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists and 4 blocks. And then a 36-point game and 19 rebounds and 8 assists, and he doesn't fucking get it. Are you fucking kidding me? What is going on here? That's unbelievable. Which also brings us to Outback Takehouse. That's right. It's Tuesday at Outback, and that means 4-for-1 blooming onions, because no one knows what the fuck these things are, and they taste like shit. So we're trying to get rid of them. Only at Outback. But they go really well with a couple of flame grilled takes. And today's flame grilled take is Anthony Davis not getting Player of the Week is the NBA's way of subtly negging Anthony Davis and getting him to demand a trade to a bigger market so they can make more money off one of the NBA's wannabe marquee players. Oh, that's a flame grilled take. And another one. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the best team in the West other than the Warriors. Only at Outback. Wow. I love the Anthony Davis one not getting Player of the Week because the NBA are negging him going, hey, gee, I don't know why Paul Millsap got the award. Maybe you should be playing in a bigger market, Anthony Davis. What do you think about that? He's like, oh, I guess so. That'd be a good idea. Why doesn't anybody like me? And they're like, oh, it's definitely not because you're in New Orleans, Anthony Davis, the one of the smallest markets we have. Wouldn't it be good if you played in LA? Amazing. Anyway, it's a hell of a take. I love it, though. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch and some other fun stuff right after this one.
G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, it's Australian Player Watch. No Aussies in action today, so nothing, which is pretty wild. And we've got no Ben Simmons tomorrow either, but we do have Joe Ingles, the Jingler, and Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, playing Patty Mills and the Spurs, which is pretty good. No games for King Daly and Kung Fu Thon, the Thon Thon Thon, or Bangers Banes, or oh, Rowdy Brockoff does have Portland tomorrow as well, though. So let's have a quick look at the G League guys and check them in, or check up with them. Check in on them. There we go. Mitchie Creek, he announced that he's going to sign with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in the NBL if he doesn't have an NBA gig next season. Hoping that he does because he's absolutely fucking lighting the G League on fire at the moment. Backed up a career high 25. Was it yesterday versus the Lakeland with another 24 points. He shot 10 of 14 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist and 3 steals. I love it. I also love that he's like, hey man, still, seriously, fuck Adelaide for trying to stop me from going to the NBA. And look, everybody in Australia should be very much along those same lines of fuck Adelaide for trying to stop Mitch Creek playing in the NBA. You fucking morons, what are y'all doing? So good job, Mitchie Creek. This is unreal. Crushing it. He's currently averaging 14.7 points, 55% shooting from the field, 6.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and 1.3 steals. Unreal. Deng Adel over there with the Raptors 905. His last game, he had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 7 of 13 from the field. Smashing it at the moment is Deng. 12.9 points a game, 5.8 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and 0.8 steals. Going very well. Had a bit of a rough stretch there, but has pulled it back. And Isaac Humphries in Erie Bayhawks smashing at Windy City. He had 17 and 10 to go with 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, bringing his averages back up to 8.4 points, 5.1 rebounds, 0.9 assists, 0.9 steals, and 0.3 blocks a game. On ya, Hump. Love it. It was Hump Day the other day. Bang on. And then, ooh, what else we got today? It's Wednesday, so that means a Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week. And this one goes to my new favorite player ever in the history of basketball, Iranian player Masiah Mizrahi. I saw him the other night on Friday as Australia qualified officially for the World Cup next year. That's right. I was at the Boomers game in Melbourne. It was wild. And he was the best bit, I reckon, apart from, Sobes and Kadee absolutely crushing it. And Nate Jawai getting out there and Outback shacking shit up. It was awesome. But Masiah Mizrahi, he was out there throwing bodies, getting rebounds, chucking up some of the best-looking bricks you'll ever see and having a rip-snorting time while doing it. My God, he was good. Seriously, when he tried to dribble at you and he looked like a baby giraffe sort of like charging up the court and you're like, all right, what the fuck is going to happen now? And every foray to the rim that he had were just like exercising. Oh, shit, what's going to happen? He could dunk on somebody or he could just like bounce out of his knee or his forehead or it could get stuck in his chest hair. And it was delightful. He was awesome. He played with such joy and everything. It was really cool. He was the biggest, hairiest, sweatiest bloke you can imagine. And it was amazing. So he might have even had some hummus in his back pocket, I reckon, just for a quick snack out there. He looked like he was having the most fun. And watching him check like Daniel Johnson and stuff was really good. So Iran, like, you know, Australia shit pumped Iran and qualified for the World Cup. But Masiah Mizrahi, he was awesome and I love it. And he was very sweaty and very hairy. So he took on the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week Award. And then actually saw Mark Bradke later on after the game, which is fun. Not as hairy as he used to be. That's what happens, I guess. And let's play Where in the World Is on a Tuesday. It's what we do. Jock Landale. Last week we had a bit of a where in the world was. What was it? For we had Mango. And who did we do last week? Shit, I don't even remember. So this week it's Jock Landale. He's obviously with the Serbian club Partizan Belgrade. And he's absolutely fucking crushing it across all league play, which is the Euro Cup, ABA, and their domestic cup there in Serbia. Averaging 11.4 points, 6.1 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and shooting 57% from the field is the St. Mary's product. Absolutely fucking crushing it. On you, Jocko. Way to go, mate. Way to go. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Ball. Twitter check-in, inspiration board, and some game previews for tomorrow right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Twitter check-in. Let's get a bit of a Joe Ingles one again, shall we? Because there was a great one that he tweeted out today. It was a retweet of his wife, Renee, Melbourne Vixens legend, who was like, all right, so the kids were thrilled to see Santa this year, sideways crying emoji, tagging at Joe Ingles. Because the twins are crying on Santa's lap with Joe and Renee. Great photo, hilarious, great shit. And Joe retweeted that out saying, prayer hands, crying laughing emoji, just a really nice family moment. Also, though, Patty Mills finally tweeted out Matt Bonner. He tweeted out, waiting on a call from New Balance basketball, like, and had a very funny meme of Tim and Eric going in and being very white. And then Patty Mills tweeted that out, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji, at least some ties or flannies or something. Yep. Not bad on you, Patty. Still roasting Matt Bonner after all these years. All right, let's get through to today's game previews. Game previews. That's right. We've got 5 games on this Wednesday. It's going to be fun as hell, actually. We've got some good ones. We've got Chicago and Indy. Oh, dead coach bounce much. Got to be wary of those ones. Don't know if it really matters so much for Indy, though. Indy are 8.5-point favorites at home. against Chicago. I might take 8.5 points with Chicago. Dead coach bounce is a real thing. They'll come out on fire. They'll probably still lose, but it might not be more than 9 points. So I'll take Chicago. Miami are hosting Orlando. Oh, it's a Florida Bowl. Love this. Lots of Florida man there. Orlando at Miami. This is a tricky one. Miami have been pretty good of late. They're minus 2.5, so 2.5 point favorites at home. I might take Orlando plus 2.5 in this one. They've been up and down. Like, they're like the ultimate up and down team. And so are Miami. Maybe there's something in that sort of Florida water. I'd probably say it's bath salts, but at the same time, give me Orlando plus 2.5. I reckon they might win that one. Portland go to Dallas to play the Mavericks, and the Mavs are 2-point favorites at home, which is absolutely wild. I'll take the Blazers, thank you, plus 2. That seems pretty crazy. Dallas have been good, but I don't know if they're better than the Blazers by 2 points at home. Unbelievable. Yeah, give me Portland. Sacramento go to Phoenix. Oh, let's go Kings. 6.5 point favorites on the road. When do you reckon the last time that happened for the Kings was? 2002? Jesus Christ. Chris Webber's out there. Vlade was still playing, smoking darts at halftime. Give me the Kings. Phoenix are just a rabble at the moment. Kings, surprisingly good and kick ass. And I reckon they might win that handily. And then finally, the Spurs. Paddy Thrills Mills leads the Spurs into the lion's den of jingling Joe Ingles and Dante Exum in Utah. And the Jazz are 6-point favorites at home against the Spurs. I might take Utah as well. Spurs have been just, ugh, they got their asses kicked and then they win a game and then Utah do the same thing. I'll just take the home team and hope that Utah are pretty good in this one because you never know which team's going to rock up. And the thing is, weirdly enough, it goes for both teams, which should be, you know, bastions of being stable and actually, you know, having the same team kicking ass. Sure, San Antonio have got no Kawhi, but they have DeMar there. And Utah, they've got no excuse. They've got Kyle Korver. I don't know how they're so inconsistent. It's fucking beyond me. But I'll take Utah minus 6 in that one. I think they might have a bit of a statement when everyone's like, oh, Utah back. See how we go. And you know what? We'll wrap all those up tomorrow because that's it for today. We'll be back with heaps more ridiculous tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We're all over socials during the games and all the time, I guess. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whichever way you listen to NBA Australia. Check us a rating and review because it helps out heaps. Go on, go do it now and tell them, mate, would you? It's like, oi, going to start up today with NBA. Fucking listen to NBA Australia, do good. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. The new single, I've Been Broken, is an absolute rip snorter. It plays behind Yena every day. So get that in your ears. Hit up Triple J, whatever radio station you listen to. Give them a request. House Hats, I've Been Broken. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. They're unreal. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp or Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands. And that's it. Stick around for a new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Oh yeah, Jingles is answering a question from a from a very, very funny source, so stick around for that. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying later, Herzog! Oh, g'day all you jingler jokers. It's Joe Ingles here, back with Joe Ingles HR. Jingles HR. Yep, I know, I look like a HR manager, and when I'm not trashing Grayson Allen or sinking threes over everybody in the NBA, I'm here answering all your HR needs. It's just what I do now. So let's get to this week's question. This one comes from Fred in Chicago. Dearest Joe. Oh, isn't that nice? Perhaps you can help me. I was recently laid off after doing the best I could in very trying circumstances. I mean, I came into this supervisory role being promised to be able to run things my way. And after 4 years, all I got from management were excuses and bad workers. And now I cop the bloody blame. What's up with that? Anyway, Joe, do you have any advice on how I could move forward and put this behind me? Thanks for your help. Yours sincerely, Fred in Chicago.
Oh, Fred, mate, that does sound pretty tricky, doesn't it? I mean, look, usually I fall on the side of corporate management. I am a HR manager after all, but sometimes when they're looking for answers, it's the middle management that have to take the fall. And I feel pretty bad about that because I'm all about looking after humans and their resources. So sometimes, unfairly, I'd say, and especially from your recounting, it sounds pretty unfair. Some of us do get a bit squeezed out here and there. So the thing you need to do there, Fred, is to just to keep a positive mindset. Even if you didn't get to shape your employees the way that you wanted to at that job, you have to stay positive that that's what you're good at. Then make sure that you're very vocal about wanting to continue to do that at a different place of employment. Are you on LinkedIn there, Fred? Because you should be. Like, that's a great way to see just what's out there and what might suit your talents and skill set. So stay positive and get yourself out there ASAP, Fred, because hopefully a better opportunity will arise and you'll get to show off all the skills you learnt in your previous roles. After all, as we say at Jingles HR, your best resource is your human resource. Okay, that's it for this week. This has been Joe Ingles with Jingles HR. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.